Hey guys, Justin Coffin for the 330 Sports Show. I am live here with Joe Danier down at Youngstown Studio. Today is Thursday, February 24th, 2022.
Did you have to look at your watch?
I did because Joe, this has been like, you know, I have minor issues in the grand scheme of things, but went to Disney last weekend with a three-year-old, which is a blast to see it through her eyes. However, you know, with three-year-olds, there's going to be little minor meltdowns, and not to mention the Disney adults that you have to deal with at the theme park. Oh, do you know what I'm talking about with Disney adults? Yes. Are you a Disney adult?
I'm not.
I will say, I can appreciate it. The park was beautiful. Like, we went to all four parks in really 3 days, four nights we were there. So did Magic Kingdom, did Epcot, did Animal Kingdom, did Hollywood Studios. All that stuff was great, fantastic. It was 80 degrees and sunny most of the time. Awesome. Did the pool, all that stuff. But it's a work trip. It is not a vacation. You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
So it's like going to Vegas with a bunch of adults, you know, or Disney World with a bunch of kids. That's the comparable thing I have. So anybody out there can probably feel my pain with that. Not, you know, again, first world problems here. Yeah. I'm dealing
can
with.
Can I ask you, did you guys do the matching shirts that said Disney?
You know
fan?
What? The little kids did.
You ruined the opportunity.
Like my nieces and my daughter had the "Hey Mickey, you're so fine" kind of thing, and they have like the princess dresses and stuff like that. Me, I wear a polo or a t-shirt or whatever. You know, represent Ohio State or something like that down there. But no, I'm not doing the mouse ears and any of that stuff. How about you? Have you been to Disney?
Yeah.
Okay.
We went, and Ryan, he was probably a little too young to take it on this trip. Because, I mean, 4 hours in and he was passed out in an air-conditioned restaurant.
Yep.
I was like, I'm watching the dollar signs tick by as we're in a place that costs a lot of money and he's sleeping.
One of my favorite shirts I did see down there was, and here's the benefit of wearing the same shirts, I will say. There are thousands of people everywhere. So if you know, hey, our group's wearing a neon shirt, I can kind of get behind that, especially if there's a bunch of little kids. But this one little kid was wearing best trip ever. His dad was wearing trip most expensive day ever. I just thought that was pretty good. So all in all, Disney, great time. But I need another vacation. Does that make sense? And then when I get home, actually a yoga zen type vacation might be good. But I get home and then again, first world problems. Basement flooded over the weekend. So up for about 12 hours when I was like so looking forward to getting home and just like sitting down, having a little bourbon but whatever.
And
you know,
have a pretty decked out basement too, don't you?
This is unfortunately time number two. It has flooded in 3 years. The first one, the power went out, but we put a generator in, we rerouted all the water, did every precaution, probably put about 30 to 40 grand into it. And then this one, a loose connection. Literally one screw came loose and caused, I don't know how much damage. It's not ideal,
ouch.
but my problems are minuscule and I don't want to harp on that. But overall, that's why if I'm looking a little bit like extra tired today, that's probably why. So anyway, let's get.
You came 3 minutes before the show and
yep.
you don't have 90 pages of notes. So I know something is off.
But we do have a great show, though, for you today. Let me tell you what's on the show. First of all, Joe, let's throw this up here real quick if you can. First of all, Joe, did you know every single day the rest of this month, starting with Tuesday, which was 2/22/22, is a palindrome the rest of the days of the month? So today is a palindrome. Tomorrow is a palindrome. All the way up till February 28th is a palindrome. If there was a February 29th this year, it would be a palindrome, but not on the leap year cycle. We're also going to talk to you a little bit about Jersey Mike's has some job openings, Jersey Mike's and Boardman. Talk to you about that in a minute. Joe, do you play Wordle?
No, I'm so annoyed with the whole Wordle.
Okay, all right. We'll get to that in a minute. We're going to do just about a minute or two on Wordle. Joe, have you ever been punched?
Oh, yeah.
Have you thrown a punch?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that for about a minute or two. You know, the NBA All-Star Game, I'll talk about that for a minute or two. But then the most important part of the show. This is kind of, you know, you go out and you order a steak dinner. This is the steak part. You know, we'll talk about the green beans and the mashed potatoes and all that other stuff first. But the steak of the show, the best portion of the show, we have a great guest coming on in a little bit. His name is Keith Edenfield of the Melina Michelle Edenfield Foundation. We will talk to Keith about his family's foundation, about his daughter, and about some upcoming great events they have coming on. His wife, Michelle, joined us in July, I believe, and Keith is going to join us today. So we'll talk to him in just a minute here. So let's real quick talk about the palindromes. You know, I mentioned that. Here's all the dates. You know what a palindrome is. Same forward as it is backwards. But that got me to thinking, what are some good sports palindromes? Some good words that have some sports representations that are, I don't know if palindromatic is a ooh, word.
Well,
did
done.
I just make that
palindromatic.
Up?
Palindromatic. Like,
but here are some words that I came up with from a sports perspective that are palindromes. Race car. Joe, that's right up your alley.
Right?
So race car. Yeah. Look at it again. Forward and backwards spells race car. Stats. Numbers never lie. Stats is always going to be a palindrome as well. Civic. Now, people might think of city, civic. Well, what represents a lot of cities and towns sometimes? Sports teams. So civic is a palindrome. Level, moving up. You know, there's different levels. There's minor leagues. There's, you know, high school. There's college. There's pros. Different levels in sports. Sagas, especially in Berea, Ohio, where there's always a saga with the Cleveland Browns. But you got to make sure it's plural. So it's sagas. You know, OBJ, Baker Mayfield, whatever you want. Wow. Probably the easiest palindrome. You flip it over, you get mom. None of us would be here without mom. So, you know, mom, palindrome, wow, palindrome. Rotator, ask Baker about that one too. Another palindrome. Kayak, you know, kind of fun. Do you kayak?
I do.
You do? Okay. Kayak's something, you know, I probably could have kayaked in my basement this weekend, but, you know, again, we're moving on from that. noon, a lot of games, kickoff at noon or tip at noon. And then radar, how fast something goes. Obviously, it goes along with baseball, goes along with NASCAR, whatever you want to say, anything you can measure with speed. So those are my palindromes. So real quick, I do want to put out a message real quick from Jersey Mike's in Boardman. Their owners are Jen and George Demas. They run a fantastic business and they're looking for quality people. So if you are out there looking for a job or know someone looking for a job, it says join a winning team. Jersey Mike's Subs and Boardman is hiring all shifts and all positions. If you'd like to have fun, banter with people, and enjoy sharing your life, then working with Jersey Mike's may be for you. Besides learning our business and pleasing people with our great authentic sub sandwiches, you'll learn a whole new level of social decorum to take you through life. Jersey Mike's was built on a strong sense of community, on an outstanding commitment to the personal growth of our people. So become a part of our team. Applicants, please, must be motivated, personable, and able to work at a fast-paced environment. You can call George at 330-883-9. Again, 330-883-0409. They're hiring for all positions. They do so much for so many people in our community. Last year, my family's foundation was the benefit of their nationwide give back. They were able to, you know, donate somewhere around the $8,000 to Project MKC. They do so much for so many communities, not just on a local level, but a national level. And they should be applauded for their work in the community. Now, Joe, let's real quick talk about Wordle. Yeah. Let's talk about Wordle real
Wordle
quick.
It is.
So I love any kind of game. You know, if you're talking big games, basketball, baseball, football, whatever. But I also like to play checkers. I like to play Connect Four. I like to play Monopoly. So Wordle is the latest craze kind of going around America. You know, it started out, I believe, in UK as some sort of sport. I don't know, some sort of game online. And then the New York Times have brought it over to America. So now that's running out. So I asked people to give me their suggestions on starter words, because first of all, it has to be a five-letter word. It has to be a legit word in the dictionary. So If you were coming up with a five-letter word, I'm putting you on the spot here. If you were coming up with a five-letter word, but not knowing what it was, they give you no other hints. Now, if you get the letter in the right spot, it goes green. If you get the letter right, but it's in the wrong spot, it goes a different color. And then if it's wrong, it goes like black or gray. So if you had to pick a starter word, what would you pick?
What are the limitations? Like, could be any five-letter word?
Any five-letter word that is a legit word.
Okay, how about score?
Score. Perfect. Okay. And that's good because you use two vowels and three separate consonants. So that's good. Now, here are some of the words. I had put this out on social media yesterday and I got a lot of responses. So a bunch of people put these words out. Irate, smile, ado. And I'm not sure about ado because we live in America, for God's sakes. That's a French word, I believe. And you know, so it's kind of cheating. Like I bid you adieu. I get it. But this person said, I start with ado, and then if that's not it, which it's not going to be it, then they go to front. So they eliminate a lot of letters if they don't get it. Then the next one was, I don't even know. Is saute?
Is ado like an obscure word? Does that get you more points of the more obscure it is?
Well, you have to get the word. You have to get the word correct. Okay. You get six tries. So again, you have to get all the letters in the correct order in those six tries. So the more you can eliminate or the more you can guess correctly and then get them in the right order, the higher the points, the higher the score or whatever. So the goal is to just get the word. You get up to six tries, the earlier, the better, but you know. That's kind of the way it's played. Right. So I have only missed one word. It was tacit, I believe. I don't even know what the hell that word means. I probably should have looked it up, but I did it on the bus going to Disney World the other day. And of course I missed it, but saute, drink, somebody said boner. My apologies.
Leave it to your friends. To come
I don't even know if that was one of my friends. It was just some random dude on Twitter, I think. I don't even know what this word is, but Aurier. I don't know. Somebody can fill me in on that. Alex George, former guest of the show, said audio is her go-to word. Anger. Somebody else said farts. Okay. I mean, it goes in. Ghost, blimp, point, alien, and crane. Those were the other words that were people's go-to on Wordle. So just thought that was fun. We'll talk more about that on a future show, you know. All right. Let's get to punching, Joe.
Yes.
All right. When was the last time you were either punched or got punched?
High school, senior year.
Okay. Oh, senior year. All right. Can you tell us about a 10-second story of how that happened?
Somebody tried bullying me, and he was about a foot and a half taller than me. We threw down in the hallway and exchanged tons of punches.
Joe Danier, high school boxer.
That's it.
Which, by the way, we'll promo the Kelly Pavlik, Jeff Ondash fight coming up soon. But interesting. The reason I bring this up, I have never thrown a punch in my life. Never. Well, like not on a person, you know, punching bag or, you know, I got frustrated and like punched a seat or something before, but never a person.
You got some reach, man. I bet you can.
I have pretty long arms. My measurables would be good at the combine, sure. but I don't know. Like I'm just not a violent person, but. You know, everybody has their limits. Right. So this past weekend, Juwan Howard, the Michigan basketball coach, it was an open-handed slap, but it looked like a punch. He connected pretty good on a Wisconsin assistant coach. And that reminded me of Woody Hayes, which was before my time, before I was born. Woody Hayes was actually fired from Ohio State, I think it was 1978, for punching a Clemson player. So there's a big difference there. For sure. Player versus coach, kid versus adult. Although I will say that kid was wearing a helmet. Okay. Never understand the people that throw punches with someone wearing a helmet, but kind of hit them like under the chin, I think. But so let me just ask you this. I don't know if you saw it or not, but they're going through the shaking hands line at the end of the game, which is pretty common in most sports, especially basketball. And Wisconsin and Michigan, Wisconsin was up by 15. Michigan was still pressing. You know, they're up. They're, you know, trying to do whatever. Wisconsin calls a timeout. And Michigan didn't like that. So all I'm going to say on this is play the game. Like, if Wisconsin wants to call timeout, fine. If Michigan wants to press, fine. You know, like, I'm not worried about your feelings. Like there's a difference, especially in college, high school, junior high, whatever. if you're pressing and you're up 20 and it's a middle school game and kids can't compete, and that's a whole different game. You know, that this is college athletes. They're all on scholarship. Like, you're up by 15 points. Who cares? If you want to press, press. And the team that was pressing was Michigan, who was down. Wisconsin calls a timeout. They got their backups in, want to get the guys, make sure they're understanding what to do. And so they did. Wisconsin or Michigan took issue with that, exchanged in line, and then the open-handed punch. But I will say he was suspended for 5 games, which through the end of the regular season. So he will be able to come back in the Big Ten tournament, which who could they face again? Possibly Wisconsin. So I will only say, I think this is a little bit of I don't think it's enough of a, I don't think he should have been fired, but I think he should have been suspended the rest of this season. That's my only stance on that. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, it's different because, you know, that sport, you got no protections, you got no helmets, and it's college sports. So it's gotta be a little bit different. You know what? I didn't see it. Let me watch it, and I'll give you my opinion next show.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. And by then we might have a little more clarity. Maybe he'll be suspended longer. I'm not sure. Right. So anyway, I just thought that was worth bringing up. All right, real quick update from this weekend in Cleveland. Cleveland, once again, you know, not necessarily the greatest weather, but Cleveland did an amazing job as a host city for the NBA All-Star Game. 75th anniversary celebration, the celebrity game, HBC, which is historic Black college basketball game. They did this thing called, which they do in the tournament, called the Elam ending. First team to 163 points win. So there's no, the final quarter was untimed, which is kind of neat. I like that. LeBron hits the game winner as a former Cleveland Cavalier player, you know, from Akron. Steph Curry, who was also born at the same hospital as LeBron James in Akron, wins the Kobe Bryant MVP trophy. Listen to this, 50 points, 16 of 27 from the three-point line. So 48 of his 50 points were three-pointers. Pretty amazing there. Rising Stars Challenge was awesome. Skills Challenge, the Cleveland team wins. Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen. Pretty cool there. Dunk Contest, I actually didn't watch it, and I heard it wasn't very good, but Obi Toppin, who actually played at the University of Dayton, won that. He is a member of the New York Knicks. Karl Anthony Towns wins the three-point contest. And again, the city of Cleveland wins because an estimated $100 million comes into the city this past weekend. $108,000 raised for the Cleveland schools by Steph Curry's performance and winning the MVP. $450,000 to the Kent State I Promise program, which is under the umbrella of the LeBron James Family Foundation. And $300,000 to the Greater, which I noticed I spelled wrong, my bad, Greater Cleveland Food Bank. So again, a huge, huge weekend for the city of Cleveland. And Cleveland, once again, does a fantastic job.
An all-star game in sports that didn't suck.
Yeah, the basketball game is pretty entertaining. I think baseball's is actually the best. And then basketball and football's just nothing. Doesn't count. So the Cavs are back in action tonight after a long layoff. They will take on the Pistons. No Darius Garland, no Caris LeVert tonight, but Lauri Markkanen, who has missed the last 11 games, could return. So that is good news for the Cavs, at least from one. I'm not gonna get into this whole event. I'm gonna have our guest talk to you about this event coming up in a minute. But we are gonna preview an evening of joy with the Michelle Enfield Foundation coming up. I'll have Keith tell you about that in just a little bit. But we're going to talk about the Choose Joy for Melina and the whole foundation. And we're going to go ahead and bring our guest on right now. We've kept him waiting long enough. I told him about 10 minutes, but you guys all know I'm kind of a talker, so we went a little bit longer. So Keith, we're going to bring you on. Again, my apologies for making you wait.
Listen, no need to apologize. Thanks for having me. You know, all entertaining topics. Those are I was right there with you for most of it. So,
Keith, do you have a go-to Wordle, by the way? Before I start,
never played.
Okay. You're probably saving a lot of time and using that time in a more valuable way than the rest of us then. So, but I do want to bring in Keith Edenfield. Keith, again, thank you for joining the show. We had your wife on back in, I believe it was July. I learned a lot from her, but for anyone that didn't see that show or doesn't know your story, your daughter's story, your family's story, why don't we start there? So, Keith, could you tell us about the Melina Michelle Edenfield Foundation and what it's all about?
Sure, absolutely. So I'll start off by saying that I'm the proud father of three girls. My oldest is 10. My middle one is 8. And then my youngest is Melina. And Melina, back in June of 2020, unfortunately passed away at 4.5 years old of a brain tumor. And so we started the foundation in her name, named after her, the Melina Michelle Edenfield Foundation. And the whole purpose of the foundation is to raise awareness and increase funding for research for pediatric brain tumors. That's our primary mission. We learned a lot of things. But one thing that we learned when it comes to funding is that pediatric cancer in general only receives 4% of the national funding for cancer research, and pediatric brain tumors receive less than 1% of that 4%. So what we've learned is that a lot of the advancements with pediatric cancers, especially with the brain tumors, a lot of the advancement and a lot of the research that's done is privately funded. And so the purpose of the foundation from a funding standpoint is to increase those research efforts.
Okay. Okay. And whatever that percent, you said 4%, is simply just not enough. You know, with how many children and families are going through something similar to you, it's just not enough. And, you know, anyone that's been in the hospital for a sprained ankle, you know, knows how much a hospital cost can, you know, let alone a child battling cancer. So, what you guys are doing is fantastic, bringing so much awareness to this topic. So Keith, let me ask you this. Being a father myself now, I have she just turned 3. And you had mentioned you're a girl dad, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
You have three girls, and actually I've met your one daughter who goes to Canfield, and she was recently the student of the month at the Canfield Rotary meeting. So
yes, that's Clara. Yep.
There. What a fantastic daughter you got there, and doing great things in her sister's honor.
Yes.
So you're doing a great job with your girls. But Keith, let me ask you this. Why, what is your why? I guess that's a big question. Now, I know you had mentioned the funding, but what gave you the strength as a parent who battled through this with your daughter? What is your why? Like, what is the strength? I know this is kind of a loaded question, but what got you started in this whole mission?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, there's a couple things to it. Like you said, it is loaded, but just to try and condense as much as I can. When Melina was in hospice, and keep in mind when she was diagnosed and her time with treatment, her time pre or post diagnosis was very short. Melina, for your listeners that don't know, your viewers that don't know, Melina was a healthy child, had never gone to her pediatrician for even a sick visit, was never on an antibiotic. She wasn't someone who was sick that you know, eventually had succumbed to a disease. She was completely healthy, and one day in May started complaining of a headache, and as that week progressed, we took her to the ER and we found out she had a tumor. Even then, they didn't realize the type of tumor she had. It was caught so early. So from that initial ER visit to the time she passed was 32 days. From the time that they realized exactly what tumor she had to when she passed was 19 days. So it happened quick. But keep in mind with the time frame, this was May and June of 2020, when at that point with the pandemic, there were more questions than answers with the pandemic. So, you know, limited in terms of how many people could be in the ER at a time, how many people could be in the room. So that's a long way of saying that when we decided to go to hospice, hospice was actually done at her grandparents' house. My wife's parents, we live right next door to them. And we did that so that way, you know, we wouldn't have to limit visitors that wanted to be with her that last week. But my father-in-law and I separately had this idea of creating a foundation. We wanted it wasn't about her legacy carrying on, but we wanted to do something in her name to make this situation better for others. And so when we decided to create the foundation, we said, let's talk to Michelle, make sure she supports it, and then find out as a mother who's going to lose her daughter, what does she want? What does she need? And she said, I need answers. You know, we have these brilliant doctors. The doctors that Melina had at Akron Children's were absolutely fantastic, not just the doctors, but the nurses, everyone. But nobody could give us an answer. And again, that leads back to the research and the funding. There's just not a lot there right now. And so she said, I need answers. So, you know, one thing from a foundation standpoint that I'm most proud of is Melina knew about the foundation at that point. In her story, she wasn't able to verbally communicate. You know, and another thing about her tumor that people may not know is it took everything away from her physically, but cognitively, up until the time she passed, she was fully aware of what was going on. So she wasn't at that point able to communicate verbally, but she was able to answer yes or no through squeezing. And so I had said to her, Melina, do you want us to create something to help, you know, other kids? And that was one of the hardest yes squeezes we had while she was in hospice. So the big why in general is so no family has to go through what we've gone through. That's the ultimate goal, to find a cure. So nobody, no child has to pass away from cancer. No child has to succumb to that, and families don't have to grieve and live that pain. That's the ultimate why. In the short term, as we get to a cure, at least maybe we can get going to what my wife said. At least maybe we can get some answers along the way.
And you know, and that just shows the kind of people you guys are. You know, I've never met you or your wife in person. However, I've heard so many stories. I live in the Canfield community, and so many people, especially in the Canfield community, I know just are so amazed by what you guys do, your bravery, your strength, and the fact that you're doing this to help others, you know, and so they can be stronger and have hope going forward is just fantastic. So I applaud you on what you guys are doing, and you know, the strength and courage and bravery, you know, is it gives me chills. It honestly does. Like right now, I have goosebumps on my arms just listening to you talk. So you know, on behalf of us, thank you for what you're doing.
Well, thank you, and thanks for the compliment. I mean, everything we do, you know, we say that she guides us. You know, one thing that Michelle had asked her towards the end was to send signs and let us know that she's okay and keep communicating with you. And prior to Melina, I was never a big believer in that type of stuff. I am now because I see it. It's kind of wild. But you know, so when we do events, when we do certain things with the foundation, you know, even in these moments as we're talking now, you know, she certainly provides the motivation and the strength, and you know, we say she leads us, and it's you know, like I said, I appreciate the compliment, but you know, we do it humbly, and we're doing it for others, and we trade it all in a second to have more time with her. So
absolutely. So I was reading through your guys' you know, foundation and what you're able to do. So you have been able to donate to the DIPG Collaborative. Could you explain what that is a little bit?
Sure, absolutely. Would you like me to give an overview of everything we've done, or do you want me to just talk about that specifically right now?
I'll leave that up to you. However, okay. You want to fill in the blanks there.
Sure. Okay. So to date, and it's just, this is just a testament and a tribute to the Mahoning Valley in general, and the generosity of Northeast Ohio and extended family and friends that we have throughout the country. But we, in a little over 18 months, we've raised over $450,000, wow. which is just amazing. Like I said, I think that is, you know, that's another, for lack of a better term, subplot to this is, you know, I'm having a math background, you know, to me, there's one reaction and there's an equal or stronger reaction to it. You know, the horrific tragedy, pain, all those negative connotations that happened with Melina's diagnosis and passing, the positive momentum swing in the other direction is the generosity of the community. So we wouldn't be able to accomplish any about what I'm about to talk about if it wasn't for that. But we've raised over $450,000 in a little over 18 months. 200,000 of that has been donated back to Akron Children's Hospital. We created the Melina Michelle Edenfield fund at Akron Children's. That's a fund that we will continue to donate to and grow, and that is to increase their infrastructure and their ability to do research on site in Akron, at Akron Children's. To your specific question about the DIPG DMG Collaborative, that's a collaboration with different levels of partnerships. We're at the highest level. We're one of 17 what's called foundational partners. And what that means is we have an equal vote with the other 17 foundations worldwide. There's one in Canada, a couple in Australia, certainly the majority are in the United States. And that's really where the research is driven. The 17 foundational partners, we meet once every year in person. We meet at least quarterly, you know, via Zoom or whatever, but in person we meet once a year, and then biannually we meet face to face, not only with the foundational partners, but with the doctors that we give grants to. And, you know, one thing we learned about it with that collaboration when it comes to the grant funding is we purposely underfund grant proposals, because one thing that was discovered is if a research was being done through a hospital, and let's say the grant was for $400,000 and it only cost $350,000 to complete it, that other $50,000 went to overhead of the hospital. So this group that we're with, you know, I always take pride in saying that every penny donated to us goes directly to foundation or directly to research or awareness. We're all volunteer based, but this collaborative is equally, you know what I'm saying, in terms of watching where the money goes. You know, they don't want excess spending, I guess is my point. So they'll purposely, you know, so if we get a grant proposal for $400,000, we won't, and it's something that we want to pursue, we won't say yes if we couldn't fund the full $400,000, but we may only give $325,000 up front and then see where the progress is and then fund the rest after that. So that type of thing. So that biannual meeting is where all the research proposals go. It was held this past November. Michelle went. I wasn't able to. Somebody had to stay home and be with our other two girls. So I volunteered for that. She has a little bit more flexibility in her schedule. She went to that and she said it was just, you know, an amazing event. And for once, for her as a parent, she didn't have to tell the story because the other families there lived the same story. Everybody understood. So there's support in that also. So to date, we've donated $75,000 to that group. And then we've also joined another group that we're one of eight partners in called the Connect Consortium. and the Connect Consortium, what that is that's really, to put it very simply, that's creating a virtual hospital. So the Connect Consortium, there's eight foundations. Like I said, we're one of eight that's funding this, but it is 17 facilities worldwide, 13 are in North America. And that's where clinical trials are happening. But the thing about it from a patient standpoint is if you are at one of those facilities and there's a clinical trial going on. So for example, Montreal is one of those facilities. I believe Cincinnati is one of those facilities. So if you're in Cincinnati, but there's a clinical trial in Montreal that's really showing promise, you wouldn't have to move your child to Montreal to get in on that. Montreal would ship everything, you know, the therapeutics, the study, everything to Cincinnati, and you could get the treatment there. So I think, you know, we give to Akron because we want to give back. The community's been generous to us, and we want to be generous locally as well. So that's part of our motivation to give what we've given to Akron Children's. But I think in Akron Children's knows this and they're on board. What we're really trying to do is it's kind of a three-pronged approach for what we're doing. We want to build up Akron's infrastructure, and one day we would hope to make Akron one of those Connect facilities. We think that would be a feather in the cap to Northeast Ohio, just on the face, but to know that Northeast Ohio families could get cutting edge treatment and opportunities at clinical trials would be fantastic.
That's excellent. That's excellent. And, you know, we do really have a gem here in Akron Children's Hospital. But, you know, like Keith said, and nationally, locally, this is such an underfunded thing. You know, I 4% is not enough. And I believe 1% of that goes to Melina's specific cancer that she had. And, you know, whatever that translates to in actual dollars is just not enough. So, like you said, our Mahoning Valley, when we pull together, you know, we might not be the biggest market, but, you know, people pull their weight and really back each other. And like you said, if we can pull in so many dollars and get this research going, maybe, you know, it might not be in the next 10 years, but maybe in 20 years, we have a cure for this and someone doesn't have to go what you and your wife went through and you and your daughter went through. So, you know, that's awesome. So one thing that stuck with me that your wife said, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, was I believe Neil Armstrong's daughter had this same disease.
Yes.
You know, when he was around when he landed on the moon, and your daughter basically went through the same protocols as Neil Armstrong's daughter. So that shows you, you know, we're not making enough progress right now. And the funding is so needed because we need research. We need answers to these questions.
Yes, that is correct. She received the same protocols as Neil Armstrong's daughter. When you mentioned a minute ago about what the funding, what the dollars actually equates to. I don't know what the 4% equates to, but in terms of the pediatric brain tumors, it's about $500 per child diagnosed is what that dollar amount is. But yeah, you know, when I had learned about Neil Armstrong's daughter, and knowing Melina had the same protocol, there's not too many things left, that we do the same as we did 50, 60 years ago. And to think that that's one of them, this is an understatement, but it's unfortunate. I mean, it's just not, you know, in many ways, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm casting judgment, but I'm just glad that we're making an effort to do better.
And that's great. And, you know, your story, I hope someone watching today or someone that sees this show learns about this and gets excited about this and can get behind this. If we can even get one person to, you know, open a checkbook or come to your event, have a little bit of fun, but also raise some awareness and, you know, raise some dollars for this pediatric cancer research. That's what this is all about. So, you know, real quick before we get to your event, I just want to ask you too, you have two daughters, Emilia and Clara, that are big supporters of their sister and her Choose Joy and, you know, all this other stuff. I've heard so many, you know, Canfield kids and their friends have got behind them too. So talk to us a little bit about some of, you know, your daughters and some of the community rallying behind the Choose Joy and your foundation.
Yeah, I don't want to do too many specifics. I don't want to leave anybody out. I would hate to do that, but I mean, it's you know, our girls are you know, that they're always there for each other. You know, we have on the foundation Facebook page, we have a couple of videos. We have several pictures of the three of them together, but some of the videos is just Melina talking to them while she was in the hospital. But you know, it's just the community support in general. I can't say enough. You know, I'm the principal at Lisbon High School. The Lisbon community hasn't taken a backseat to anybody. Matter of fact, Emilia, you asked about her. Emilia was on the front page of the Morning Journal down in Lisbon with one of our cheerleaders at a recent basketball game, and they're both wearing Choose Joy shirts. Saying, you know, the Canfield community, Canfield did Gray Day last May to raise awareness for pediatric brain tumors. I mean, our girls are involved, and it's, you know, it's as simple as, you know, I can't tell you how many teams from the high school varsity level down to my girls' ages in rec leagues have worn yellow ribbons on the backs of helmets, again, just to raise awareness, and in those instances, more so, just remember Melina, because a lot of the kids and student athletes wearing those knew her. You know, they can close their eyes and picture her, and probably even remember a memory or two of them with her, or when she was at a sideline at their game. So, yeah, I mean, the community support, like I said, and it's multiple communities. I can't tell you how many times, and sometimes it's people that we don't know at all or we don't know very well that say that their children in their neighborhood held a lemonade stand or sold popsicles or what have you to support the foundation and the mission and remember Melina. I mean, it's very touching, but like I said earlier at the very beginning, the things that we're trying to do, especially on the worldwide stage, wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for everyone's generosity.
That's great. And again, I don't want to leave anyone out, but Canfield, Lisbon, Poland, Struthers, you know, Boardman, everywhere. Anywhere, if you're in the Mahoning Valley, Warren, Columbiana County, anywhere, if you're in this area and you want to have some fun and you want to help this cause, Keith, can you tell us a little bit about this event that's coming up soon?
Sure. Yeah. So this upcoming event, this is our first event of the 2022 calendar year, and it is an evening of joy. It's happening Saturday, March 19th. I believe since this is a sports show, you know, sometimes you got to run things on a sports calendar, not the calendar. So I believe right. That is the Saturday of that would be the round of 32 for the men's tournament, I believe. So, but that's that weekend, Saturday, March 19th. It's at the Embassy. Doors open at 5:30, and it's an evening of joy because that is an evening for Melina. So I know when Michelle was on the show back in July, Justin, part of that was promoting the Choose Joy event on the green, which was for kids. We say this is an adult version of that. We're going to have a basket raffle, silent auction, live auction. Baskets, we're going to have between 20 and 25 baskets. I don't think the value of any of those baskets is below $200. We've got some great silent auction items, such as a hot tub, you know, 6 tickets for the Browns on the 50-yard line with a party bus from Fab Limo, 2 tickets to Ohio State, Wisconsin, 50-yard line, I think 8 rows up in the shoe, you know, 4 tickets to Notre Dame, 4 tickets for the Cavs. I'll highlight some of the stuff because it's a sports show. Some of the tickets we have a autographed Mario Lemieux puck, Cam Hayward picture. I think that's going to be part of the either silent auction or baskets. We have an autographed Greg Newsome football from the Browns that I think is going to go with those Browns tickets. We have a loge for the YSU North Dakota game, which I think is a night game, October 8th. So, you know, those are some of the sports packages. For the live auction, we have a trip to Vegas that includes 2 nights, or I think 2 nights, at least 2 nights in a at the MGM in the deluxe rooms. 2 plane tickets with Spirit Airlines. They donated some vouchers and tickets to Cirque. And the beauty about the Cirque tickets is that those show, that's for any show you want to see while you're there. It's not a specific time or date. So great prizes, incredible, generous donors. The website, so tickets can be purchased online. Online, you can view all of the silent and live auction items. And when you purchase your ticket, the silent auction actually opens on March 4th. So there's going to be an opportunity to bid on the silent auction items 2 weeks prior to the event. We have Ovation playing, so there's live music that night. You know, that night is going to be, Melina loved parties, and we said, you know what, let's throw a party that Melina would be proud of, and I can't think of anything better, or the things that we have lined up for that night could not be more fitting for what we envisioned.
That's great, and you know, this is, again, something that's for a great cause, but it's also going to be a great time for anyone that's available. If I'm reading this right, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's www.bidpal.net/choosejoy. So let me read that one more time. www.bidpal.net/choosejoy.
That is correct. Yep. That's the website for the event itself. That's where you would go to buy tickets. And if you do buy a ticket, that's where you would go to bid on the silent auction once that opens on March 4th. And then that night, that's where you would also put the bids in on live auction.
Okay.
But if that website, that like I said, that's the website for the event itself. You can also get there by going to the foundation's website, which is mmefoundationjoy.org.
Okay. All right. Very good. And you guys have a Facebook page that is really easily accessible. Just, I believe it's Melina Michelle Edenfield Foundation.
Yes. Yes. If you search that, that'll come up. Yes.
Okay. Awesome. So, you know, Keith has been very good here. I mean, he's representing the Steelers. He's representing the Browns. He's representing YSU, Ohio State. We're talking NCAA tournament. We got Vegas on there. We got Mountaineer on there. You know, for the ladies, we got Casals Day Spa. Yeah. So, I mean, a ton of things for every walk of life, and you know, obviously supporting a wonderful, wonderful cause. So, Keith, again, we appreciate you taking time out of your day. I mean, you're a principal at a high school during a pandemic, not to mention all the other stuff going on. So, you know, we applaud you, your family, for what you guys are doing. And again, you know, get those donations in, help not only this foundation, but foundations around the country raise money for a wonderful, wonderful cause that is severely underfunded. Keith, before we go, any last words that you want to share with our audience, or you know, make them aware of anything?
Sorry, there we go. Sorry, my lights kicked off. I wasn't moving enough. That's the beauty of a live show, right? That's
exactly that's right. Exactly.
I would just say, you know, one thing that my wife and I have started, and it was really her, and I'll steal it from her, is, you know, we always thought that as we grew up and we were coming through life and together and everything, that we were thankful people. But after seeing the generosity and the community come together and rally behind us and support us the way they have, we say we're no longer thankful, we're grateful. And so I would just like to take the time to thank everybody, including you, for letting us be on the show now twice, for everything you've done, whether it's been a donation, whether it's been just words of encouragement, whether it's been a donation, non-monetary, but just things that people have donated for us to help. Like I said, every penny we raise goes to awareness and research. So we pay no overhead. So we couldn't do that without non-monetary donations as well sometimes. So just like I said, all the support that we've received, we just can't thank people enough. And that's really, really what it's about, is what people have done for us and for the foundation, because they believe in the mission. We can't say thank you enough.
We appreciate you sharing Molina's story, your story, and the foundation story with us, because every time I talk to you or, you know, read some information, I learn a little bit more that I honestly didn't know before. And this is, everyone knows someone out there that's been affected by some type of cancer. And we need to get out there and help, the most vulnerable population, which is our kids. So, again, one more time, we applaud you guys, and grateful is a fantastic word, because we are grateful for you. Joe, who runs our studio down here, is always so supportive of these types of things. Having this platform, is we're all so grateful to be able to share your story. So, Keith, thank you so much. You and your wife, or anyone in your family, have an open invite on our show anytime. And, I look forward to eventually one day getting to one of these events in person to, meet you guys and talk to you. I'm definitely checking out that live auction real soon here.
Yeah, so. Yeah, absolutely.
But Keith, thank you. And you guys have a great day. And we'll definitely share this out on our website. And hopefully, we'll hopefully sell some tickets. So let's get out there and support these guys.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Justin. Thanks again.
Thank you, Keith. Enjoy your day.
You too.
Thank you. So I just want to thank everyone for tuning in today. Thank you to Keith Edenfield. Again, I started the show off, kind of wanted to start it off on a funny note. I put it into perspective this way. When I see Keith and hear his story, little problems and little things don't matter. This stuff matters. So if you can get out there, if whether it's a dollar you can give, or $100 or $1,000, whatever it is, every penny makes a difference. So support this great foundation, support this charitable effort, and have a little fun while you're at it too. So try to get to this event, and if you can't, check out their website for other ways you might be able to help, whether it's monetarily or maybe volunteering some time down the road. So for Joe Danier, my name is Justin Coffin. This is the 330 Sports Show at Youngstown Studio. Everybody have a wonderful day. We will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.